What do you need, son?
Need to borrow your bow.
Let's drop some lead on those motherfuckers!
Light them up.
They ain't gonna sink this battleship, no way.
This one's for you, Chappie. This is Iron Eagle. I am the flight leader of an American assault force.
Sent to recover Colonel Ted Masters, whom you are unlawfully holding prisoner.
I've been to Ted!
No way.
If I'm lying, I'm dying.
Well, boys, I reckon this is it. Nuclear combat toe-to-toe with the Ruskies.
Hey, what about Major Kong?
I know this series has typically focused on the Navy because that's the bulk of the missions here at NES Pensacola, NES Whiting Field, and Corey Station. You can hear that I reconfigured that one ever so slightly in deference to my United States Air Force guest that I have in here today. And it made me the most happy to see the smile on his face every time he instantly recognized every single sound clip that I was playing. Joining us now here in studio, I have United States Air Force Colonel Shane Seamus Moscato. He is the commander of the 479th Flying Training Group, located on board NAS Pensacola. Colonel, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Great. Thank you so much, Andrew. It's fantastic to be here. It's not an airplane, but it's still a great morning.
Very good. Well, let's start with this. I think the average person, and this is why I wanted to do this series, the average person listening to us right now, they know all about the base, and they had no idea that there was an Air Force training component on board NES Pensacola.
Yes, and that's where we are. And I'd really like to start off with the fact that it's called Naval Air Station Pensacola, right? And so Oftentimes, you know, in the military, people say, hey, where are you stationed? Where are you stationed? It kind of has a negative connotation with it, if you will. And what I want to really thank is all the public listening and the people of Pensacola and yourself for having us out here. The great thing about Pensacola is this is home. It's not a station. It's nothing negative. And really, that's what I'd like to start off by recognizing this morning is the community that Pensacola is, the support that it provides to all the military, to include us airmen on NAS Pensacola. So, yes, we're a 900-strong formation. So there's 900 people in the group, and that doesn't include the other roughly 600 airmen in the Pensacola area. So it's about 1,500 airmen in NAS Pensacola. So I always like to say Pensacola is absolutely a Navy town. I will not argue that, but it does have a gigantic Air Force footprint.
I just want to pause there for a second because there were minds blowing up all over the listening area. They're like 1,500 and 900 on NAS Pensacola. Wait, what? Yeah. Well, that's why I wanted to do this series, because you have no idea. So for people who, again, you know, don't know, which is, I think, most of us, you know, you have 900 people under your command. You have four different subordinate organizations. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. So the 479 Flying Training Group, we are the sole producer of combat systems officers for the United States Air Force. And then within the formation,
the Air Force equivalent of the NFO in the Navy. So the backseat pilot or the additional seat backseat person in the airframe or the additional person. Go ahead.
You got it. So Captain White Cricket, who I know you spoke with earlier, so Trey Wing 6 is the equivalent to my formation. So both of us have a like mission set, just mine is for the Air Force and Cricket's is for the Navy. So then within the group, so the 479 Flying Training Group, we have four squadrons. There's the 479 Student Squadron, which is kind of the care and feeding of our you know, students going through the program. There's the 479th Operational Support Squadron, which, as it alludes to, is the operational support to facilitate our mission. However, what's worth noting in there, they have an Air Force-wide program as well, so the Electromagnetic Spectrum Operations School. And actually, yesterday it was a privilege of mine to go to the graduation of 12 NATO officers that just completed our program.
Oh, nice.
So we were able to graduate some Norwegians, Italians, Germans out of that program. So that's fantastic as well, which is, you know, again, a hidden element,
right?
A hidden element within NAS Pensacola.
Do we do a lot of CISO training for foreign officers here?
No, so that's opposite.
Oh, you said that's in the electromagnet. Yeah, so that's the support squadron. That's right.
Schoolhouse. But then the other two squadrons we have is the 451st Flying Training Squadron. And they operate our T1s and do the advanced portion of our syllabus. And then the 455th Flying Training Squadron, which conducts our primary initial flying training with the T6.
Okay, so let's walk through that a little bit, because this is why I think it's really good to have had Cricket on last week, because he explained the Navy component. And you guys, is it fair to call you a mirror setup to what Training Wing 6 does with training the NFOs?
It's very similar. In fact, you know, if you were to dial back when I went through this program as a young second lieutenant, it was split between NAS Pensacola and Randolph Air Force Base. At the time, it was joint specialized undergraduate navigator training, and it was a joint program. The Navy and the Air Force were one and the same. Around 2009, 2010, when our program shut down in Randolph and came here to Pensacola, it was intended to maintain a joint presence. However, that's where the great division happened, and the Air Force is training the Air Force, Navy is training the Navy. But by and large, yes, it's almost a mirror image. There's some differences, obviously, in how the Navy trains and what their mission set is, and how we train what our mission set is. But it is very, very similar. And Crick and I have a very positive relationship. Often, times. What's lessons learned and best practices we can learn from each other.
And just so, because I want to make sure for people who might not have caught the other interview and don't understand what Training Wing 6 does, so you will take people who have been in ROTC, you'll take people who went to the Air Force Academy, and you will, and these are people who are not going to, essentially, and pardon my civilian lingo, but they're not going to pilot the plane, but they are going to operate all of the other aspects on board a plane that's going to have more than one occupant. So not your F-16, but like your F-15 Strike Eagle, or like on a C-130 that's, an attack aircraft that would operate like out of Hurlburt. Yep. E-3s and E-8s and B-52s and B-1s that have people beside just the pilot. Those are the folks that you're training. Combat systems officers is the broad category. If they're operating offensive things, it's weapons systems officers or WISOs. And you do the entirety of their training before they learn the specific platform that they work on. Do I have that right?
Andrew, you have it. So it's, CISO, combat system officer, is an umbrella term. And so what we do is we take newly commissioned officers, typically. Some will be prior officers who want to transfer over to the aviation field. But we take young officers who have no aviation experience, more than likely. We turn them into aviators to do exactly what you're talking about. So it's not piloting, but it is providing the support for what the mission set specifically is doing. And it is that umbrella term that you alluded to. So special operators, weapon systems officers, navigators, electronic warfare officers that are doing, whatever the specific mission set is. So the pilots will, do all the pilotage, get the aircraft into position that it needs to be, and then our graduates ultimately go to their formal training unit to hone their mission set to specifically conduct operations as reported.
The pilot brings the platform to the location, and the CISO or the WISO brings the ordnance
effect,
or the jamming, or the whatever needs to be done to the target you've got there. We're talking with Colonel Shane, call sign Seamus Moscato. He is the am I saying Moscato right?
You are.
Okay,
just
good.
Like the wine.
So make sure. What's that?
Just like the wine.
Just like the wine. Got it. Commander of the 479th Flying Training Group here on board NAS Pensacola, but with the Air Force. We'll come back to this in just a second. Back now to the Colonel of the 479th Flying Training Group, Seamus. So I look up in the sky on a given day in Pensacola, and I see the T-6-2 Texan, and it's flying overhead, and I think to myself, oh, well, that's obviously coming from Whiting Field, where Fez is training his pilots in their primary flight instruction. Not necessarily. That could also be out of Training Wing 6 on board NAS Pensacola, where we have Cricket is training the NFOs for the Navy. Okay, so it's one of those two, definitely. Not necessarily. It could also be for the 479th Flying Training Group, where you're training the combat systems officers or CISOs. How will I know who's doing what by looking up at the plane?
Sure thing. So, distinct paint jobs is how you can differentiate if it's an Air Force T-6. So when you look up, if you see a T-6 with blue wings and not orange, Those will be the ones assigned to the 479, specifically our 455th Line Training Squadron.
Got it.
And of those, there's 24 that we have assigned to our formation.
And that's the first phase. That's primary, would you call it?
Yeah, so that's our primary phase. That's okay. Oftentimes, you know, we'll have young officers getting into an airplane for the very first time. You know, they've never even touched an airplane before, so their dollar ride is in a high performance T6 aircraft.
And then the second phase, the advanced training for the CISOs, is going to be in the T1A Jayhawk.
That is correct. Yep.
And okay, so I didn't know this, and in prep for the show, I looked it up, and I thought, you know, I have seen those tons of times around the area, and I just always thought it was somebody's private plane.
Yep.
Because that's what it looks like. It just looks like some rich dude's flying out of NAS Pensacola. You don't have a lot of civilian jets flying out of NAS Pensacola. So tell them what they would see and tell them how to recognize that that's your guys and gals learning to be a CISO.
Yes, just as Andrew described there, you know, the T1, it looks like a small business jet. And what we have done is we've modified that for our training. So, you know, if you were to go buy a T1, if you have some extra cash laying around, Andrew, if you were to buy yours, then come over and see what we have. It's going to be significantly different. So we've actually modified it. We'll put two students in there. There'll be a pilot and two instructors, and they actually will do that kind of operation like we discussed. You know, the pilot's going to be flying to where it goes, and then as we fly around in the local area, simulating effects, simulating, you know, weapons employment, electromagnetic spectrum operations via those two stations on the airplane. So, and then we'll do that both mid-level and low-level. So we'll fly a lot of the low-level routes just north of here, about 1,000 feet in the T1.
Very good. And this is the sort of the mirror image companion plane, if you want to think of it, for the T-45 Goshawk that the Navy flies. You guys fly the Jayhawk. And they're not, I mean, they don't look at all alike. They're not similar in any way, the T-45 and the T-1, but just in terms of the role they play in your training pipeline, right?
Yeah, so, you know, the T-6 we use specifically to provide some initial airmanship. Right?
Okay.
Up, down, left, right, how do I talk on a radio? And then we start getting into that mission honing skills in the T-1 before we put wings on someone's uniform and send them off to their formal training unit, whether it be down the street at Herbert Field if they're going special operations, up to Seymour for F-15Es, or off to Barksdale if they're going to be going to B-52s.
So I'm driving north on Three Mile Bridge coming into town. I managed to catch a T-1 up in the air. I recognize it. Is he pretending that I'm a surface-to-air missile site and he's trying to jam me as a target?
Yeah.
Is that the kind of stuff that I...
We have some unique methodologies for and tactics, techniques, and procedures of how we go out and conduct our operation. What I do want
that's
everyone
a military
to know,
yes. yes. Okay, that's a military yes.
What I want everyone to know is we're honing the skills of our young airmen to go out and, you know, protect our security, our values, and our prosperity, and rest assured we're doing that with everyone's best interest.
So if you're out in the open, you could be a target. Excellent. I always think that when I see the C-130s, you know, the AC-130s going overhead, and I'm like, I know they don't have rounds in there, but I'm thinking, okay, I know what's going on here. All right, so after they graduate with you, then they're going to go off to learn the particular platform. And I mentioned a handful of them before, but maybe just tell people some of the roles that you send people off eventually to graduate from your program here and what planes they get on board and what kind of missions they conduct. Because, like, you spent two tours at Hurlburt.
That's correct.
And so, you know, staffing the Spookies, the gunships, that's part of what you train people to do, right?
Absolutely. So again, we'll put combat systems officer wings on our students anywhere from the 7 months to about a year, depending on what platform they're going to.
Okay.
We will then source out across the Air Force, send it to the special operations community, the bomber community, the fighter community, and the ISR. So, you know, the folks that we send down the street to Hurlburt, they're going to end up being members of the MC-130, the AC-130, and the U-28. You know, for the fighters, it'll be limited to the Strike Eagle, so they have 15E backseaters. The B-52, the B-1, we'll send Wizzos off to those platforms. And then the RC-135, which is really, you know, the backbone of our military's understanding of other adversaries' weapon systems that we'll use, you know, our ISR capabilities on.
Do we also send the KC-135s also?
No longer to the KC-135.
Oh, not anymore. Yeah. Okay, got it. That's the refueling.
And then we also
plane.
Do
okay.
send to a couple of the unmanned aerial vehicles.
Okay, so you do have a drone component.
Yes.
Okay.
So we not here locally, but they'll go through our program and go off to some of the RPAs in the Air Force inventory.
So in the Air Force, your folks learn how to target and drop bombs, how to attack radar sites, how to control communications, the airspace and the radar space around the airspace. everything involved in those missions you make possible by your training.
Yes, and we do that at the foundational level, right? So it's undergraduate combat systems officer training here. So we provide, you know, that baseline element that, hey, we can call you a professional aviator, and then they go off to their formal training unit to hone the skill specific to conduct combat operations.
How many a year do you graduate?
So we hover right around 240. So 240. Okay. We usually have about 250 students in training at any given time. But we typically graduate about 240 per year, and we're looking to expand that as we kind of grow the field, especially with the electromagnetic spectrum requirements.
And which is obviously has become more and more important over the years, because it used to be you control the air, you control the battle, now you control the EM, you control the, you can't control it without controlling that, as we're learning in Ukraine and elsewhere. Anyway, what happens, this is to understand the significance, because again, it's interesting that we have Air Force component here. People might start to be getting the sense of how important it is what you do and what your operation does. But what happens if you fail to accomplish your mission on board NAS Pensacola, training the CISOs and the WISOs?
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to highlight where we kind of start off. So we are the sole source of generating combat systems officers for the U.S. Air Force. So, you know, failure here on NAS Pensacola for the 479th could potentially be failure for those mission sets that the Air Force relies on to have combat systems officers on board. So, you know, across that, you know, bomber, fighter, soft, ISR communities, it all starts here, because there's not another base who has the like mission that we have. So all of them start here at NAS Pensacola, which is a fantastic place for us to do our training.
And you mentioned SOF in passing. People may not know the acronyms, but Special Operations Forces, which would be like what happens at Hurlburt. And
yes.
So you know from personal experience, having been at the other end of the pipeline, the importance of what you do now is the training mission. Man, fascinating stuff. How many times have you seen Iron Eagle?
Probably lost count this point, although I am more of a Dr. Strangelove guy.
Nice. So, all right.
It's all about the big board.
You can't fight in here. This is the war room.
Yeah, that's right.
Nice. All right. And you did bring your lieutenant with you, and you actually brought your daughter with you. So getting to see a little bit of dad at work. And I just love it. You've been here for how long?
Just got here in January.
Oh, okay.
However, third assignment on the Gulf Coast with two prior tours down the street at Hurlburt. And
maybe an affinity, maybe a request here or there all right, I like it. Very good. Well, Colonel Moscato, great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. Thank you for doing what you do. Thank you for training our men and women to be CISOs and WISOs. And also, as I say, just explaining to people what your operation does. It's been my pleasure to be able to expose the tenant commands to the public and get them to learn what you all do, and the sizable component and the essential component that you provide in the training pipeline for the United States Air Force. Thanks for your service and the time. We'll talk to you again soon. Nice to meet you.
Great. Thank you very much. If I could, just put out there, it's not just the officers we're training on NAS Pensacola. It's officers and enlisted across Corey Station, Whiting Field, and NAS Pensacola. So thank you for the opportunity, Andrew. I appreciate it.